Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Andrea Jones of Online Drea, and today we are discussing making the move from freelancer to agency owner. Andrea has built an online business committed to empowering businesses to utilize the power of social media in a positive and impactful way. With over 7 years' experience in the game, Andrea leads a team providing done-for-you service inside of her marketing agency that was named a top digital marketing agency in 2021 and serves over 200 students in her membership, the Savvy Social School. Thank you so much for joining us today, Andrea.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So where are you tuning in from today?
I'm near Niagara Falls in Canada on the Canadian side.
Oh, awesome. Only a couple hours away from me.
Oh, where are you based?
I am in Muskoka.
Oh, wow.
Just a couple hours north of Toronto. So it's not too often I get to interview someone so close to home. Normally it's a lot of American agency owners, so that's exciting.
Yes, and all of my clients are in the US, I think, except for two who are here in Canada. So I'm used to this world.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that's awesome. So how did you get into digital marketing?
Yeah, so part of that was why I moved to Canada in the first place. I'm originally from the US.
Okay.
I'm from Atlanta, and I met my husband on YouTube, of all places.
Yes.
And so fell in love, and we decided, you know, that we were going to live in Canada. He lived in Toronto at the time. Mm-hmm. And so that move was the catalyst for me to start freelancing, because I needed a job that was location independent, because I needed to still be a US citizen, even though I was living in Canada and going through that whole process of, you know, we got married. I did the permanent residency and citizenship. And so I needed a career path that was flexible and just landed on freelancing. I have a degree in English literature. I studied like Shakespeare and Oscar Wilde. And so when I started in the online space, I was doing a lot of writing, blog writing, even writing like product descriptions and things like that. But I've always loved social media. Yeah. I've been blogging since 2004. I had a YouTube channel since 2007. And so the social media side, I kind of landed in as one of my clients needed social media copy. Mm-hmm. And then I realized a lot of people needed that. And so I started just really focusing in. So about a couple months into freelancing, just went all in on the social media side of things. And I haven't looked back.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you know, your story is something I hear all the time, like a similar variation is people just fell into sort of their career path that they're in right now working in digital marketing. So it's so interesting that that's sort of the way it goes.
Yes, it is. And it's interesting looking back, because when I lived in Atlanta, I worked at, I was like a manager of a spa, both a local spa and then in a corporate setting in a hotel. And in both cases, I was one of the youngest on the team. So I was just kind of put in charge of posting things to the Facebook page, right? And so I was already getting experience in the industry without even knowing that that would be my career path. And I remember doing a leadership course when I worked for Marriott. And part of the course was like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And this was like 2012-ish, 2011. And I was like, I wish I could just do like the posting the Facebook part, like for my whole job. And that's not a real job. That will never happen.
I know. So, it's so crazy. Yeah.
And it feels full circle.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's awesome. So tell us, how did you make the transition from, you know, doing the freelance thing to now running an agency? And how big is your team now?
Yeah, so we have 15 people on the team, about half employees, half contractors.
Okay.
Yeah, and I didn't want an agency. I just wanted to be a freelancer.
Yeah.
I love the flexibility of it. But when I went on vacation for the first time, and social media never sleeps, by the way, so always on. That was like a wake up call for me. I was like, I need someone else to be able to cover for me when I'm on vacation or if anything should happen.
Yeah.
So then I called myself a freelancer who just happens to have a team for years, like probably about 5 years into my business, even though I was running like a smallish agency. I just didn't like the word agency. It felt so big and corporate-y, and I was like, I want to be free.
Yeah.
But so it really came from like needing support in other areas. And then I slowly started adding on more people, a copywriter to do this, graphic designers to do that. And then now I have a full-on agency.
That's so cool. I love that story. That's really interesting. So what would you say is the biggest mindset shift that had to take place when you made that transition from freelancing to now managing a team?
Yeah. So I blame my first team member for this because she's a freaking unicorn and is amazing. And I thought, this is easy. I can just keep adding on more people. No. I feel like the biggest shift for me was actually learning how to manage people virtually, mm-hmm. which is different because you're not looking at over their shoulder. You know, you don't bump into them in the hallways. If they decide not to log on that day, you're ghosted, like they're gone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was really learning to trust people and learning to be a leader in this space. That was super hard for me. I made a lot of mistakes along the way. I hired the wrong people who I just happen to like. It didn't work out. I hired the right people but did not know how to manage them. So it also didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's that shift of I'm no longer a freelancer. I'm a business owner and I have to treat this like a serious business. Mm-hmm. And so that mindset shift took me probably about 2 years to get over. And I still feel like I'm still working on it today.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the biggest shift for me.
Yeah. Was it hard to kind of give up the reins and have someone else, you know, taking on roles in the business, things that you were previously doing?
Oh, yes. Especially when it comes to social media content creation, because it's so public, mm-hmm. right? So to have someone, you know, write a caption or design a graphic and just have it go out on a client's account, like that was tough for me at first. Mm-hmm. But then I liked that, you know, I didn't have to do all of the things.
Yeah.
And then the next toughest thing was actually having my team on client calls. I didn't start having my team on client calls until probably about a year and a half ago. So okay. I'm now seven plus years into business. So for the longest time, remember I was a freelancer who just happened to have a team.
Yeah.
And so that was like really nerve-wracking for me to have the team on client calls. I thought for sure they wouldn't trust my team as much, or they would feel like they're being handed off to someone else or whatever the case may be. And in fact, my clients are fine. They like it. As long as the work is getting done, nobody really cares. But mm-hmm. that was like a big thing for me, like letting that piece go.
Yeah. So how did you get those first few clients when you first started out? Was it a lot of your freelance clients that were just sort of stayed on with you when you sort of grew into becoming an agency? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I used Fiverr and Upwork very heavily in the first 3 or 4 years of my business. And so that's where I would get my initial clients. I would, you know, on Fiverr, I had a gig that was like, I'll write 10 Facebook posts for you. And I totally broke the rules, by the way. And after I wrote the 10 Facebook posts, I'd go, hey, do you need more? Let's work offline. Fiverr doesn't like when you do that. But that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I was getting my like repeat clients that way. And same thing with Upwork. I would do like a gig on Upwork and they say, come, let's work together, like off of Upwork.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got my initial clients. And then it just became referral based from there.
Okay. That's really cool. And so how many clients would you say that you brought on from Upwork? And were they all repeat?
I should do this calculation. I did do Fiverr, so I made $10,000 through Fiverr in my first 2 years. Okay. And that was just through the platform, not including people who, like, one of my clients I got from Fiverr was a client for 6 years.
Yeah.
Like ongoing. So, cool. You know, there's a lot of business that comes from there. I'm actually not sure from Upwork. I want to do this calculation now one day.
Yeah.
But from Upwork, like I built a lot of business off Upwork. There, it gets a lot of negative rapport especially in the agency space, because you get the low hanging fruit clients. Mm-hmm. But I can think of one client for sure right now that I got from Upwork 3 years ago. That's almost a $3,000 a month contract. And you know, that multiplies over the years. So are they the biggest client? No, mm-hmm. But it's such a great showcase piece for us, because it's like a very public, visible brand, but they just needed someone. And so they just went to Upwork, and yeah. I pitched them, and I happen to have the most experience and one of the best pitches when I was pitching them. So when you go on Upwork too, it's kind of like, there's a lot of duds for sure, but you get those diamond in the rough clients that they just don't know how to find the right company. So they put it on Upwork, and you kind of have to just pitch them to get that gig.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. No, that's really cool. And would you say you have to kind of undercharge? Because I imagine there's a lot of competition on Upwork and Fiverr. Or you knew sort of what you wanted to charge, what the service was worth, and you just kind of see how it went.
Yeah. I mean, in the early days, I was just taking everything. I did not have any experience. Yep. And I basically got paid to learn.
Like, yeah. Which is
my goal my goal was to pay my bills. And like my husband and I ended up moving from Toronto to, like, we live in Fort Erie now, which is near Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. Because of that, like Toronto's expensive. We wanted to live somewhere where, you know, if this didn't work, it wasn't like the end of the world and we had to, you know, lose our apartment or anything like that. So mm-hmm. we ended up buying a house, very affordable, like starter fixer upper home type of thing. Mm-hmm. And just hustled. Like, I remember in the early days, my goal was to make $2,000 a month. That was my goal. It's like, I can pay my bills with $2,000 a month. I don't care where it's coming from. I was doing all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And then once I started building up my skill set, I would get a choosier about my clients, and my clients were starting to refer me people. So I just slowly raise my rates from there. But in the beginning, I would just take anything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's a really common story. A lot of people start out that way. It's really interesting to hear your story. So do you guys focus on a niche at all or no?
Yes, we do now. So I didn't have a niche for a while, but now we work with primarily life coaches.
Okay.
We also work with thought leaders, speakers, you know, people who are in that motivational space, even if they're not necessarily a life coach.
Okay.
And typically our best clients also produce a ton of content, like a podcast, a YouTube video, mm-hmm. A live show. So our clients have a lot of content and they're producing a lot of content, but they have no time for like posting on Instagram. So that's where we come in.
Okay. And how did things shift for you once you started focusing on the niche? Because I'm guessing you didn't start out that way.
No, I would work with everyone in the beginning. And what happens is, I was basically starting from scratch every time you get a new client. Like, if you get a lawyer, it's a different strategy than if you get someone who sells, like, I don't know, clothing.
Yeah.
And so I was basically creating new strategies every time I would get a new client. And now it's a lot more streamlined because we kind of have a system. We kind of know what works. And even if we make changes, it can be, you know, changes across the board for all of our clients. I resisted it for the longest time because I thought it would close me off to mm-hmm. potential clients, but I find that we actually get more referrals because all of these people in our niche, they all know each other. And so, we get one life coach client and their other clients are like, hey, we noticed you're like doing well on Instagram. What's happening? They're like, oh, you got to hire Andrea and her team. And so, you know, it kind of spreads the word within a smaller community.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about your process for hiring. So how do you hire, like, what does your hiring process look like? How are you finding talent and someone who's a good fit for your agency?
Yes. Oh my gosh. This is one of those things where, like, I feel like I did it so wrong for years that I fine-tuned it to work for me. Nice. So currently the hiring process is write the job description. And with the job description, I try to write it as honest as possible. I used to paint, like, this is what the job could be like, that kind of picture. Mm-hmm. And in reality, I would get people who would get into the job and they would quit within the first month or two because they weren't doing the things that were on the job description. Right. So being very accurate about what we're looking for, putting things in like there, like, you know, Google's your best friend. You love asking questions. You love mm-hmm. to figure things out because social media moves so quickly. By the time I read it SOP, it's outdated. So we need people who, like, you got to keep it up.
Yeah.
So it starts with the job description. They fill out the application. And in the application form, we also put more questions, not so much related to their skill set, but related to our clients. So, you know, life coaching, motivational speaking, like, you've got to be into that self-help space.
That's cool.
And then also a lot of our clients are advocates. So Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ issues. Like, if you're uncomfortable with talking about those things, you're not going to like working here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So asking questions along those lines. And then I found that most of my team, they're very creative in other ways. So we have people who have their own podcasts. They maybe paint on the side. They have their own, like, they design things. And so I ask questions about, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do outside of work?
Yeah.
After the application, we choose the best candidates and then they go through an initial interview, which is 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Really goes through the specifics of the job just to kind of see if they show up basically and if they could be a good fit. Mm-hmm. Then from there, they get a test. It's almost like a aptitude test. So it depends on the job. So if it's copywriting, we're seeing their copywriting skills, something that takes less than an hour, right?
Okay.
If it's a design job, we want to see their design skills. So it's really like it's a test. Yeah. And then there's a second interview that's the longer interview, like your traditional interview where we ask, you know, if they're a good culture fit and we talk through their wants and dreams and see if they're a good fit. Mm-hmm. And then we do a paid trial period. Depending on the role, it can last anywhere from a week to a month. And it's really, we give them actual projects and work and things to complete. And then mm-hmm. if they pass that, then they're on the team. So it's quite a process. And the reason that I go through that is I used to jump straight to the paid trial week. Mm-hmm. And I found that people were like, they were getting some sort of help or support or something wasn't clicking because they do great in the trial week. And then they get into the job and I would go, this is not the same work that you did in the trial week.
Interesting.
So it's really, the whole process is designed so that the right people will kind of come into the role and be really excited about being on this team.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. I like that it's so long because I think, you know, everyone's so busy, so it's not, it doesn't come sort of second nature to want to naturally have a long and drawn out hiring process, but it makes so much sense in the long run. You know, when you're playing the long game and you want to be successful, really getting a good feel for the person that you're hiring, it makes so much sense.
Yeah. And we're a very tight-knit team as well. And so I find that, especially for the employees that I've hired, that is like critical. Mm-hmm. So I incorporated this year and started hiring employees, which drastically changed how, like, our capacity, because contractors can be very expensive. Mm-hmm. And I was basically paying contractors like full-time like rates, which is almost double what you would pay an employee.
Right.
So hiring the employees really freed things up, but you have to go through that process if you're going to hire an employee, because once they're in, especially here in Canada. And so I want to make sure, like, I have amazing people who are just as committed to me as I am committed to them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's working out great.
That's cool. That's a really interesting process. So what would you say is the biggest lessons you've learned apart from hiring with running your agency?
Yeah. So the hiring one, honestly, I feel like it's been my biggest. Yeah. That has to be the biggest lesson.
That is a big
and
one.
It's the reason, you know, it's the reason why I didn't want an agency in the first place. Cause I was like, I don't want to manage people. Mm-hmm. But what I've learned is I actually love managing the right people.
Interesting.
And it just gives me so much more time to be creative, especially in this industry. I can't afford to not spend time researching and learning. Otherwise, we'll be outdated. Digital marketing moves very quickly, and somebody needs to be in charge of staying on top of things. And so that's my job now, is I just get to play around on social media and figure out different strategies and interesting things. But outside of hiring, I would say one of the biggest challenges has been just like scaling. In general, kind of relates to hiring, but in 2018, I did have a bigger team at that point. We had like almost 30 clients, but we weren't profitable. We had a month or two in there where we were almost negative, like profit wise. And I wasn't paying myself. Mm-hmm. And so it's this idea of, yes, you're scaling your business, you're hiring people, you're getting more clients, but you also have to have really healthy profit margins to be able to sustain the business, which is something that I just didn't really think about as I was growing and scaling.
Yeah.
Basically, I wasn't pricing myself appropriately to support a team. And so that to me has been a big lesson. I don't like spreadsheets. I don't like numbers, or I used to. And now I look at them like at least once a week, probably multiple times a week.
Yeah.
Because it's like a really important piece to growing. And it's just something that it's a lesson that I just had to learn, and I had to stumble and fall first to get there.
Yeah.
But I'm obsessed with the numbers now.
Yeah. Oh, that's great advice. Yeah, definitely. So what advice would you give to someone who's considering making the leap from freelancer to agency owner?
Start raising your prices now.
Yeah.
Because you want to have the agency prices to get your next client and then to hire your team. Because the team piece is the biggest line item on my books all the time. Mm-hmm. They're going to be expensive, but they're the most important part of running the agency. So raise your prices now to be able to afford the team, to be able to scale and grow. Outside of prices, maybe start taking some leadership classes like I should have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big piece.
Leadership books.
Yeah. Cool. No, that's super helpful. I really appreciate you sharing that. So where do you see Online Drea in 5 years' time?
Yeah. So we've been doing a lot with programming lately that I'm really interested in doing more of. So we have, this just a year ago, we started our mentorship program for social media agency owners. Mm-hmm. And so I really would love to do more of that. I love my clients, but I'm still very hands-on. And so I don't necessarily want to have hundreds and hundreds of clients in the agency. I'd rather impact other agency owners to be able to grow their agency. So I'll keep my client list small, probably around 20 people, and then impact more businesses through teaching other agency owners how to grow their business.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. I'm really interested to hear about your mentorship program as well. Is that up and running now?
Yes, it is. So we're just 1 year old.
Okay.
We have about 18 mentees, and it's really focused on the social media agency business model.
Okay.
Because it's a lot different than, you know, if you had a content writing agency or video marketing agency, your systems look different than social media, which changes all the freaking time. And think about this, like Instagram Reels did not exist. It like was invented August 2020.
You really have to stay on top of it.
Yeah. So it's really talking about how do you grow your business when you're in the social media space? How do you manage clients with all of this going on? How do you price yourself appropriately when you basically are on all the time? How do you get team to do this for you. So, you know, there's a lot of nuance to social media agencies. And so I mentor, it's a membership program, but there's a course component, there's group coaching, lots of mindset. Like we have a resident mindset coach who helps the mentees with that piece. And I'm loving it. It's so much fun.
That's cool. That's awesome. I love mentorship. So, all right, well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first I have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I'm reading Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. Amazing book.
It sounds like it would be amazing. I love Brené Brown.
Yeah, she's great.
Yes. What does your morning routine look like?
I have coffee, I read, I meditate, I don't look at my phone. And then when it's time for work, I have my office space that has a door. So it feels like I am coming to work and leaving work.
Okay, interesting. I love that. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
A CEO. I've been loving Rachel Rogers' work lately. She's not an agency owner, but she talks a lot about wealth, generational wealth, and growing your business to have an impact. And so I've been loving her work.
Cool. And what is your favorite online tool?
Oh, favorite online tool. I love Canva. We still use Canva. Like as much as you can do in Photoshop, it's like, it's just easier to use Canva sometimes. So
that's I agree 100%. I love Canva. I started off as a graphic designer, so I was obsessed with Adobe, but yeah, Canva is a game changer.
Yes, for sure.
What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I would have known how much work would go into it. I think owning a business, especially in the early years, there's a lot more time you put into it than you would a traditional job.
Yes. So true.
Yeah. So that's the one thing I would be more mentally prepared for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You've shared so much helpful information and I love learning about your story. So I really appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and we'll see you next time.